Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. As we continue looking at Matthew's Gospel, we come to Jesus telling the well-known parable of the farmer sowing their seed. So let me read from Matthew 13, 1 to 10. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a father went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Then the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? So in this passage, we see Jesus telling the crowds this parables, and it seems both the crowd and Jesus' disciples are confused to its meaning. So then Jesus explains to his disciples later on in verses 18 to 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Jesus explains the parable to them, stating that the seed is the message of the kingdom of heaven, and that it is scattered by the farmer, where some falls on the path, and where a person hears the message of the kingdom, but does not understand or accept it, and Satan snatches it away. Some fall on the rocky soil, and the person initially seems to accept it, but quickly becomes burnt out and they fall away. Some of the seed falls among the thorns, and the person gets choked by the things of the world and they do not grow. And finally, some falls on the good soil and goes on to produce a harvest. Now, Jesus explains that main message of the parable, so I don't see any reason to unpack that further. Instead, I would like to spend some time looking at the sower by asking a few questions. Who is the sower? What are they doing? And when and where do they do it? So our first question is, who is the sower in this parable? Now, let us note that Jesus doesn't give us any biographical details about who this farmer is. This, I think, is deliberate, because Jesus doesn't want us to identify the farmer as someone specific, or for us to categorise them into a particular type of person. Now, we know that the ultimate sower of the word of the kingdom of heaven is God, but we also know that God works through human hands, and so the character of the farmer in Jesus' parable can at the same time be identified with God, and with a human being working on God's behalf. So if we take this farmer to be a human being working on God's behalf to sow the message of the kingdom of heaven, we need to consider, who is this sower? The generic identity of the farmer enables us to recognise that the sower is all of us who believe in and follow after Jesus. So everybody, but equally nobody in particular. The sower is every believer. We have all been commissioned to share the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This was not just instructions to those first disciples, but to us too. We are all called to sow the word of God to those we can reach. We are all called to be like this farmer scattering the seed. And so the identity of the farmer in Jesus' parable is you and it is me, as long as we are willing to follow Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations. So the sower is all of us, but the sower is equally nobody in particular too. Jesus doesn't give the farmer a name or a backstory, in part, I think, because the farmer is not the focus of the story. The farmer is just an agent of God doing God's work. As such, they are not seeking fame or renown. Instead, they have submitted themselves to God, allowing God's name to increase and theirs to decrease. And this is how it should be with us. Our society is obsessed with fame and trying to make a name for ourselves. But the only name that we should be trying to raise up is the name of God. A quote says, "Let my name perish, but let Christ's name endure forever and ever." Now, this quote is actually rather ironically recorded as being written or said by George Whitefield, who wanted his name to perish, but seems to have stayed anyway. But it still talks about how we want to decrease so that God can increase. And this sentiment is also reiterated by a worship song that I like to sing along with by Casting Crowns, called Nobody. And the lyrics say, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave me a heart to sing. A heart, a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus." The farmer was not looking to glorify himself, but instead raise up the message of the kingdom of heaven by scattering that message far and wide. So we see that the farmer was both everyone, all of us who believe, and also nobody, because we desire to see Christ raised up instead of our own glory. So the second question is, what does the sower do? Now, that might seem a bit of an obvious question. What does the sower do? Well, of course, he sows the seed. There isn't anything else we need to wonder about, surely. But I want to look a little bit deeper and consider two things. Firstly, the sower goes forth. Jesus tells us, "A farmer went out," or the King James Version puts this more poetically, saying, "A sower went forth to sow." But either way, the sower moved out of his house to go and sow the seed. He was willing to go where the seed was needed. But what about us? Do we go where the message of the kingdom of heaven is needed? When Charles Spurgeon preached on this passage, he rather bluntly posed some questions to his congregation. He said to his congregation, "Can I look upon some here who have been members of the church for years, but who have never yet done anything for the Lord? If you have been a servant of God for many years and have never yet done anything for the salvation of souls, I want you now just to say to yourself, 'Come now, I must really get at this work.' You will be going home soon, and when your master says to you, 'Did you do any sowing for me?' you will have to reply, 'No, Lord, I did plenty of eating. I went to the tabernacle and enjoyed the services.' 'But did you do any sowing?' 'No, Lord, I did a great deal of hoarding. I laid up a large quantity of good seed.' 'But did you do any sowing?' he will still ask. And that will be a terrible question for those who never went forth to sow. What are some of you doing for God? Oh, that you would begin to take stock of the of your capacity and say, I must get to work for the master. I must do it at once, or I may be called home, and my day will be over before I've sown a single handful of wheat. So Spurgeon certainly never pulled his punches. He was very blunt and challenging to his congregation. And when we listen to his words, we might find ourselves feeling a bit defensive. Sort of, I've worked for God, and how dare people like Spurgeon suggest other words? But we do need to pause regularly and take stock of how we are doing on all areas of our spiritual life. And that includes considering how willing we are to go forth and share the message of the kingdom of heaven. So the first thing to consider about the sower is that he goes forth. And the second thing is that he doesn't discriminate. This parable refers to the farming practices of the time, which were pretty imprecise. The seed was scattered by hand and then ploughed afterwards. During the period between the harvest and the planting, people would walk on some areas of the field, creating a path. And the seed that fell on the path was exposed and easy food for the birds. Some areas were rocky and some were filled with weeds. The farmer threw the seed and hoped it land on the fertile soil, but is not too disturbed or upset by the seed that lands elsewhere. And so it should be with us. We should not be picky about who we share the message of the kingdom of God with. It's easy for us to make judgments about people, assuming that they wouldn't want to hear the message of the gospel. And so we keep our mouths shut and do not let God work through us. Take a moment, right now, to pause and think. Who do you automatically assume won't want to hear the gospel? Is it a specific person or a generic group of people? Take this moment now, and if you need to, pause the video. But in this moment, open your heart and ask God to help you to witness about him to that person or that group of people. Let the Holy Spirit direct you to spread the seed of the Word of God indiscriminately, without examining who we think should hear the message and who shouldn't. We cannot judge hearts. We cannot judge who has hearts that are open and fertile. Only God knows the condition of people's hearts, and only he can grow those seeds. But he wants us to share the message of the gospel and plant those seeds to whoever we have the opportunity to reach. We need to be open and willing to share the gospel with anyone. So let us go forth to sow. And let us sow indiscriminately. Let us be alert and be prepared for any opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with someone. And then our final question is, when and where does the sower sow? Now, this might be a slightly strange question, but I find that we often hold out saying that we are waiting for God to show us when and where we need to sow his seed. And of course, we do need the Holy Spirit to be present when we speak. But I believe that whenever we speak God's message in faith and confidence in God, then God will be with us as we speak. And this is not just my belief. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." In other words, Paul said to Timothy, speak of God's kingdom at all times. Let there never be a moment when you are not prepared to talk to someone about your faith journey, or about what Jesus means to you, or about how God has worked in your life. We are commanded to preach the kingdom of God, to follow Jesus' example. No matter where he was or what he was doing, Jesus was prepared to communicate the kingdom of God to those around him. Whether it was through his teaching and preaching, or his miraculous acts and healing, or by showing love and compassion for the hurting. The time is always now, and the place is always here to share the good news of the gospel. If any opportunity to speak to someone arises, don't let it slip away. instead send a quick prayer to God, asking him to guide the conversation, and then open your mouth and take that courageous first step. So in summary, who is the sower? It is all of us choosing to work for the kingdom of God, glorifying God's name while allowing our own to decrease. What does the sower do? The sower goes out to where they are needed, and they sow indiscriminately. And when and where does the farmer sow? Here and now, at all times and in all places. So now, go and do likewise.